simple subject, but very, very important one. The promise of forgiveness in the Christian life. Promise of forgiveness in the Christian life. As we look at this passage of Scripture, there's a number of truths here, but the one that we want to look at, verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the word is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, some of you may have a background in Catholicism. And so when we read this verse, confess our sins, I'm sure there's a lot of things that come to your mind that are not in the Bible. A lot of things come to your mind that are not in the Bible. You probably think they're in the Bible, but they're not in the Bible. Number one, probably your idea of confession, what does it mean to confess your sins, is probably wrong. Obviously, the basis of the forgiveness of sins, if you're a Catholic, had a Catholic, is wrong. Because it's not based on how many Hail Marys you do or how many good deeds you do. And really, the whole idea of forgiveness, you probably have a little bit skewed idea what that is. So we're going to try to give some definitions here. Why do you need forgiveness? What does it mean to confess? How can you know that God will forgive you? What comes along with true confession of sins? Well, in our text here, I'll give a few definitions. If we confess our sins. The word confess does not really mean, you know, I did such and such. Now, it might mean that, but technically, it really means a lot more than that. Because the word confess means to say the same thing as. What does that mean? To say the same thing as God. That's what it means. To say the same thing as God. Now, what if you say, well, I just confessed a little sin. You know, I said a few bad words and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. But did you think about that sin the way God thought about it? In the Old Testament, if someone took God's name in vain, they were to be put to death. Oh, it's just a little sin. No big deal. Let me ask a question. Is that saying the same thing as God? Is that looking at it the way God looks at it? No, a person can say, oh, I confess this sin. They could say it 20 times, and they aren't really saying the same thing as God says about it. Because the word confess means to say the same thing as, and it is a synonym of repentance. Repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. So that something that you change your mind of how you think about something, how you view it, and now you view it the way God views it. So let me ask a question. How many times when we confess our sins, we really confessing our sins? Now, secondly, let's give a definition of the word forgive. Forgive. It's actually a simple word. It means to put away. To put away. What's putting being put away? Well, the whole idea is this verse is talking about that when it's in the context of having fellowship with God. Walking in fellowship with God. In communion with God. But when we sin, we lose that fellowship with God. We lose that the power of God in our life. We are no longer abiding in Him. There's something that's blocking it. There's a block that something that has come between us and God, come something from us and having fellowship with God. And that's sin. Sin blocks our fellowship with God. It cuts it off. And so when God forgives a person's sin, they put it away. God puts it away. He takes away the block. He takes that block and that's caught by that sin, and He puts it away. And now it's free and clear between us and God. Now it says God is faithful and just. Well, God is faithful and just. And how can God be faithful and just? How can God forgive our sin? Because Jesus Christ shed His blood on Calvary's cross. You know, we talk to these atheists, so-called atheists at the university. I've been learning a lot about atheists. And I'm learning more about them. And I'm finding out that atheists are people who have sins in their life that they like and don't want to call them sin. And the way to take care of their sin is to say, oh, there's no God. I can live the way I want now. But God's a holy God. But a holy God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty and the price of sin. And the Bible in this context, He says He's the propitiation for our sins. Chapter 2 and verse 2. He's the propitiation for our sins. All our sins have been placed on Christ. And because of Christ's death on Calvary's cross, a God in heaven can justly forgive our sin. Praise God. It's not a whim. You know, the God of the Muslims, there is no faithfulness in that God. He can change His mind at any moment. A person could be the best Muslim in the world and Allah could decide, cast him into hell. Because He isn't just. He isn't a holy God. He is a whimsical God. But the God of the Bible, you can depend upon Him. Amen. Not because it's a just an imagination, but because He sent His Son to pay the penalty for sin. And now He is just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. Because Christ has shed His blood, there can be forgiveness of sins. Do you know, that's why, so we can have this possibility. And that forgiveness will not only restore man with fellowship with God, but it was also the path of God's blessing. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. People don't believe that, do they? A lot of people don't believe that. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We want to hold on to sin in our life. God says, I'm sorry, you're saved, but I can't hear you because there's a block between me and you. There's a breaking of fellowship in sin. And so, the Bible says there, if we confess our sins. Now, obviously, this is a confession to God. And it's through our mediator, Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man. The priest? The saints? Mary? No. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It's through Christ that we can come to God the Father and ask His forgiveness of our sins. So if confession of sins is to say the same thing as God says about it. Okay, so your mom says, now that was bad. And the son says, it wasn't so bad. Think mom's satisfied? Do you think the son is saying the same thing as mom? No. You see, the problem is many people make themselves God. Many people, they decide if their sin is bad or if it's not so bad. And they confess their sin on the basis of how they think. Oh, this isn't so bad. It's a little sin. You know, I'll give a little confession, you know. Yeah, but, you know, it's a little sin. Is it really? Is that saying the same thing as God says it? What do you think? I don't think that's confession of sins. I think that's playing games. I think it's playing games. Now, you're a young person and you say, well, you know, Pastor, I mean, he is an old fogey. I mean, he is an old fogey, and, you know, he just gets all worked up about this stuff. You know, it's not so bad. Really? Well, what about God? You think I'm anywhere close to God? Not in a million miles. Do you think that God, he thinks it's not so bad? What do you think? Not a chance. Are we confessing our sins? Or are we really being very relative? Are we kind of playing religion, confessing of our sins. It's almost going back to Catholicism, where you tell some man, you know, whatever. But what about talking to God, who knows the real truth? What about talking to God? And coming to God and says, God, you know what? I look at this just like you look at it. And I think that's something that we not need to think about. Now, so how are we going to look at it the way God looks at it? Turn to Psalm 73. This is an example. Psalm 73. Here we have the psalmist. He's looking at the wicked. And notice what he's saying. Here's the wicked. Verse 3. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men are. Neither are they plagued like other men. You know what? Here's the person, they say, you know what? I wish I was like those people. You know, they got a new car. And they got a swimming pool. Or maybe they got a horse. And you know, maybe they got 10 horses. And they got a brand new truck. And a brand new car. And a brand new house. And you know, man, I wish I could be like those people. You know, it doesn't matter that, you know, they're immoral. Doesn't matter if they watch pornography. You know, it doesn't matter that they lie. You know, it doesn't matter that they don't observe the Lord's Day. It doesn't matter that, you know, they're like the world. Doesn't matter. I wish I was like them. Wish I was like them. You know, a lot of people think like that. I wish I was like them. I wish I was prosperous like them. And that's what the psalmist is saying. It says, verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Then he says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I washed my hands in innocency. You know what? I've cleansed my heart in vain. Why should I live this straight and narrow life? Why shouldn't I party with the rest of the young people? Why shouldn't I watch pornography like the rest of the young people? Why shouldn't I be immoral like the average other young person is? At the age of 14, the majority of young people have lost their purity. Why can't I be like them? Oh, you know what? This, living the Christian life, this is vanity. This is vanity. Then it says, verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. The sanctuary of God is the place that God dwells. What's he saying? I got into the presence of a holy God, and all of a sudden I saw everything differently. I didn't see the wicked as being rich and prosperous and having a great life. I saw their future. I saw their soul. Because I got in the presence of God. I saw things the way God saw it. Isaiah 6. Isaiah. I don't know what he was saying. But he was talking like the rest of the people. I don't know what he was saying. I don't know what kind of words came out of his mouth. But he was like the Jewish people. I don't know what he said. But he said that he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the seraphim around God saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And here was, this was really holy smoke here. And the house was filled with smoke. Not like the smoke of the rock bands. That's devilish smoke. And it says, verse 5, "Then said I, woe is me." Woe means judgment, 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 judgment. I'm worthy of God's judgment. I have said things that are wicked. I am in danger of judgment. "For I'm a man of unclean lips." I'm done because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You know, I don't think he saw that what he was saying was bad before, but now he saw it. He saw it the way God said it. What happened? He got into the presence of God. When he got in the presence of God, he saw things differently. How did he see him? He saw him the way God saw him. What does it mean to confess? It means to say the same thing as what? As God says. You know, there's words in the Bible. There's things that God hates. There's things that he says an abomination. And God says they're an abomination. But Christians say, "Oh, it's not so bad." God says it's a big sin, and Christians say it's not really a sin. But what is confessing our sins? To look at it the same way that God looks at it. How is that possible? Well, number one, through the Word of God. What does John 15 say? John 15. It's talking about having fellowship with God. It says, verse 3, "Now ye are clean." Through what? John 15, 3. "Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." Is it saying, okay, you read the Bible, that makes you clean? No, that's not what it's saying. It says, when you read the Bible, you get God's standard. You get God's plan. You get God's perspective. And now you can confess our sins. You're clean through the Word. How are we going to get God's perspective? Really reading the Bible. I don't mean 1, 2, 3 abracadabra devotions. I don't mean popcorn devotions. I don't mean Brill King devotions, little dab of do you. I mean really reading the Bible. And you know what? We don't read much of the Bible. We aren't going to get God's view of things. We aren't going to get much of God's view. You know, the Bible is the revelation of the person of God. It reveals who God is. And that's what just upsets me by these Bible teachers who are trying to throw out parts of the Bible and make it like it's really not important. The whole Bible reveals the nature of God. We need to know who God is. We get into His presence in the Word of God. If we don't have the Bible, we're going to have very little idea what's right and wrong. If we don't have the Bible, we certainly aren't going to see things the way God sees them. Oh, we're going to see them the way, like Isaiah said, I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Oh, they were religious people. But you know what? They're all in it together. Doesn't matter what people think. God's higher than man. And His Word is higher than man. We got to get into the Bible. Think about that. Notice 1 John chapter 1. The standard. The standard is God's Word. The standard is God Himself. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. God is light. It speaks of the purity of His holiness. The purity of his person. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. You know how sad it is that people, they're just looking for some preacher to say, oh, it's okay. Really? You're just waiting for some preacher, some church to say it's okay. And the bigger shot that they are, the more important what they say is. No. Get anything bigger than the Bible? No, we need to get our eyes on God. That's the standard. Oh, this church says don't do this. This church says do this. Well, let me ask you a question. How holy is God? I think God's a lot holier than we know. I fear that if we were looking at the average Christian a number of years ago and they'd look at us, they'd say, man, what a bunch of sinners. Why are they tolerating all that sin? We're in great danger to compare ourselves with other people. We've been stuck in a rut. And then add to that human nature. You know what human nature is? Human nature is this. Well, you know what? My dad, he was really strict. But you know what? I'm not going to be like my dad. I respect him. I love him. But, you know, we're going to be just a little bit more moderate. Right? I know Pastor Roberts, I mean, he was really a radical. And we loved him, but you know what? We're not going that far. Really? What we need is revival. When we get revival, we get a sense of a holy presence of God. And things that we tolerate all of a sudden look mighty filthy. The things that are normal, we see them as dark can be. We need to get into the presence of God. We need to get in His Word. We need to meditate on His Word. We need to be seeking to walk with a holy God. What is confession? It's to say the same thing as God. You know, there's two men in the Bible that we could think about that said, I have sinned. Nathan the prophet came to David and said, David, you're the man. And David said, I've sinned. And we'll read about his confession in Psalm 51. We'll get there in a minute. There was another man by the name of Saul. And Samuel came to Saul. And he said, Saul, what means the bleeding of these sheep? And what about Agag? And Samuel and Saul says, I've sinned. Which one was confessing a sin? Peter denied the Lord. The Lord heard him look down from the balcony and he looked at Peter. And Peter caught his eye and he walked out and he wept. Judas took his money, went to the Pharisees and said, I have killed innocent blood. Here is your blood money. He threw it on the floor. He left and he hung himself. They both said, I've sinned, but which person repented? Psalm 51, let's turn there. Let's look at the ingredients of confession. The ingredients of true confession of our sins. We'll learn a number of things. Look at verse 17. True confession is a brokenness over sin. David said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken spirit. You know, here's Dennis the Menace. His dad says, go stand in the corner. Dennis is standing in the corner and the captain says, I may be standing on the outside, but I'm sitting on the inside. Any brokenness? Any brokenness? Full of willfulness, right? Brokenness. It's not confession when you say, oh, I got caught and I'm going to confess it, but I still want to do it. Brokenness. Notice his sense of loss of fellowship with God. Verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I sensed. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. A sense of guilt. A sense of a breaking of God's law. Notice his sense of loss. Verse 7, verse 2, it says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Notice he felt dirty. Verse 6, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me. This is defiling. This is defiling my soul. This has defiled my mind. This has defiled my person. Cleanse me, God. Notice. His thinking about this sin. Notice his recognition of the source of his sin. Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. It wasn't a mistake. No, it came right from my heart. I chose to do it. I chose to do it because I have a wicked heart from Adam. That's where it came from. It wasn't a mistake. I chose it. And that heart that it came from was a dark heart. A twisted heart. A sinful heart. Notice his recognition of his loss. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. His spirit wasn't free. His spirit was plagued and in bondage. Notice, he said, I lost my joy. My joy of fellowship with God, I've lost it. I need cleansing. I need freedom from the guilt. What was happening? What had happened? Repentance had been worked in his heart. He saw things from God's standpoint. In his own soul, he was seeing it as God saw it. When he chose to do it, he didn't see it that way. And for a while, he didn't see it for that way. But now he sees it God's way. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Repentance is the same thing, is a synonym of confession, to say the same thing as, to look at it the way God looks at it. David didn't say anything good about sin in Psalm 51. He said all the truth about it. 2 Corinthians 7. It says, verse 9, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow works repentance, a change of mind, to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. The sorrow of the world worketh death. And Judas went and hung himself. Death wasn't repentance. Repentance leads to life. Worldly sorrow leads to death. Repentance leads to life. David said, what did he say? He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He said, uphold me with thy free spirit. Forgive me, and then I will tell sinners of your greatness. Repentance brings life. Real repentance. It's a change of mind. Where's Caleb? Caleb, you want a second helping of liver? Why? You don't like liver? What happens when we get God's mind about sin? What happens when we look at sin the way God looks at it? Ugly, dark, terrible, wicked. Real repentance is to say the same thing as God. I wonder if we have let false religion give us a wrong definition of confession. All you have to do is go say these words. You know what I mean? Go say these words. No. Repentance. Come to the same opinion as God. Come to the same opinion as God. If that's going to be true, we're going to have to get into God's presence. If that's going to be true, then we're going to have to believe the Bible. If that's going to be true, we're going to have to read the Bible. If that's going to be true, we're going to have to meditate on God's Word. There's never be enough commandments. You couldn't write all the commandments of right and wrong in the Bible that would apply to every, that would be exact commandment for every situation. No! God has all the truth there. And it is our job to apply that truth to life. And let the light of the Word of God shine in our life. God has given us the Holy Spirit. Oh, God the Father is holy and the Son is holy. But why is it called the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit's job is to take the Word of God and give us that sense of how God sees our life. Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, when we sin, not only do we break fellowship with God, but you know what? Sin defiles us. You say, oh, I'm going to look at that. And, well, I'm going to confess that that's wrong. Well, I think you're already missing part of it. You're missing what David said, wash me, cleanse me. Why? Because sin defiles us. Defiles our will, defiles our mind, defiles our affections. And we don't touch sin without it defiling us. You say, oh, I can go there and it won't defile me. You can say, I can do that and it won't defile me. I can be around the wrong people and it won't bother me. I just, you know, leave them and go on. No, the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. There's a defilement of sin. And when we truly confess our sins, praise God, we can not only get the forgiveness, the restoration of fellowship with God, where His Holy Spirit is free now to work in our life, and we can read the Bible, and we can pray, and we can have God's power in our life. But He cleanses us. Otherwise, we would be hopeless. What can we do to take away that defilement? Oh, thank God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. David knew all about that. He just He understood those principles of fellowship with God. He understood the defilement of sin. He said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." You know, little children are precious in the fact that they are just transparent. You know, a little child that is obeying and doing right, what a smile on their face. You know, they can skip around and just be joyous, but a little child that's doing naughty, the skip is out of their step, isn't it? The smile is off their face. You know, a lot of people, the only smile that they ever have nowadays is this temporary fake smile of the world. But you know, when you know Jesus Christ and you know His forgiveness and you're walking with Him, hey, you know what? There's something to smile about. It's just kind of automatic. Praise the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. Restoration to fellowship. Now, this is a great truth. If sin breaks that fellowship, then we better be serious about sin, right? So how often should we confess our sins? How often should we confess our sins? We don't have any confessionals here. Usually they're open on Saturday nights. That means you can have sin between Saturday and Saturday and it's okay. No. When should we confess our sins? You know, the Lord was teaching us about with the foot washing principle, and Peter says, "Don't wash me. Don't wash my feet." And Jesus said to him, "If you don't want me to wash your feet, I have nothing to do with you." What was he saying? He's saying, people who don't want forgiveness and see they have need of forgiveness of their sins on a daily, regular basis, they don't know anything about salvation. That's what he's talking about. Could save people. Know and want to be right with God. Saved people know what it means to be in fellowship with God. They know that sin breaks that fellowship, and they know they need fellowship with God, and they know they need forgiveness on a regular basis. Whether it's a thought or an action or a sin of omission. You know, many times we only think the sins are sins of commission. There's sins of omission, aren't there? There's sins that you do. There's thoughts. You know, we've been talking about this. What does the Bible say? If you have a bad thought, what are you supposed to do? Confess it. A thought that isn't contrary to the Bible, meditate on it, say, this is the way I think. No. Person says, don't worry. I don't get mad. I just get revenge. Wow. Sounds like a lot of sinful thinking. And you know what? Person with sinful thinking breaks fellowship with God by sinful thinking. What's the evidence? Lack of joy. What does it say in 2 Corinthians? We don't have time to go there. Read 2 Corinthians 7 and see what it says about the person who comes repentance. It says, what indignation, what clearing, what vehement desire. You know, when we confess our sins, there is something that really happens. There is forgiveness. And there is now fellowship with God. Let me ask you a question. You know, when we confess our sins, there should be this sense of brokenness. There ought to be some sense of humility because we're down to who we really are. But you know, confession of sins isn't I'm so bad I'd be better off dead. Is that forgiveness of sins? No, that's self-pity. That's not confession. That's not being released. That's not getting fellowship back with God. It's, I'm sorry that I look bad. But you know, when a person gets right with God, they're zealous again to serve the Lord. They're zealous again to read the Bible. They're zealous again to serve the Lord with their life. He said, David says, then I will treat transgressors. I'm not retreating, I'm going forward. I failed, but I'm not dead. I'm alive in Christ. You know, forgiveness is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Isn't it great that we can have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? It's bigger than we can comprehend, God's wonderful mercy. You know, maybe some of us need to get a better definition of confession. Maybe we need to get a better definition instead of just, you know, playing games with sins. We need to get God's view of it so we really can confess it. Maybe we need to be more serious about the fact that sin breaks our fellowship with God. And I'll be honest with you, you know, sometimes it's easy to go get busy in life. And you know what? If you don't confess your sin right away, sometimes you forget about it. Did God forget about it? Sometimes I ask teenagers. I don't like picking on teenagers, but they're nice. I say teenagers. I wouldn't dare say this to an adult. They'd knock me over, maybe. I say to teenager, when was the last time you confessed your sins? Sometimes You know what the response was? I don't know. I can't even remember. And what does that mean? Well, it wasn't today. It wasn't yesterday. It wasn't the day before. And it wasn't the day before. And it wasn't last week. I don't know when the last time was. Ask yourself that question, young person. When's the last time you confessed your sins? All of them. If you didn't confess your sins, what does that mean? That means that you were walking in the flesh. You weren't walking in the spirit. You didn't have fellowship with God. And you think you're spiritual, but you aren't spiritual. You're carnal. And now you're living the Christian life in the means of the flesh. Wow! Where's that going to end up? And that's a very, very real scenario, isn't it? Right? I'm up here and you're there. Adult, when's the last time you confessed your sins? When's the last time you confessed your sins? I don't mean, Lord, forgive me my sins. No. When's the last time you said, Lord, I did that, and that's exactly what how wicked, Lord, it's just like you said, it's terrible. And I did it. And I see it as terribly wicked. Lord, it's sin. I have sinned. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. This thing has defiled my life. Jesus said to Peter, if you don't want your feet to be washed, which speaks of daily pollution, daily defilement, you have nothing to do with me. We need to keep short accounts with God. Need to keep short accounts. We need to do better in our homes. We need to make sure that at least we start and end the day with confessing our sins. Amen. And when we confess our sins, we ought to rejoice in the manifold mercy of our God. Amen. That God can forgive us. And we can get up. And we can go on for God. Isn't that great? The just man falleth seven times, and he getteth up. Praise the Lord. We sin. But do something about it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise of God. Make that your habit in your life. And best even that even during the day that we are walking with God. And we confess our sins throughout the day. So we can have fellowship with God. Let's pray. Lord, now I thank you, Lord, for the great truth of the Bible. That you're a forgiving God because the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. And Lord, I pray that we recognize that confession is not just some little trite little thing we say. But Lord, it really is a transaction with a holy God, but also a merciful God. Who has sent his son to die on our behalf. Who because of his blood we can not only have the forgiveness, the putting away of our sin, but we can have cleansing from the defilement that sin has caused in our life. And we can be renewed. And we can walk with you. Lord, we need it. Lord, what a desperate situation we would be in without the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, how different a believer is than the world, whose sins and defilement just adds up and adds up and adds up and adds up. Now, Lord, minister to our hearts even this point of application. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. I realize this is a little bit humbling, but we need it. Sometimes you say, you know, the Lord is speaking my heart. I have not been careful to confess my sins daily and often as I ought. And I'm sure there's, if you're a Christian, there's been time when you have. But for some reason, you've slipped away from that close fellowship with the Lord. And you say, you know, I've gotten out of the habit of often and daily confessing my sins. And the Lord is speaking to your heart today. And maybe there are some sins in your life that the Spirit of God has brought to your heart and you need to confess them. You need to say the same thing as God about them. Maybe you need to sorrow over them more so that you can come to godly sorrow. Would you say, the Lord is speaking to my heart? Maybe you're a new believer. And you've never been in the practice of daily confessing your sins. God is speaking to your heart today and say, you know what? I'm going to put into practice that great truth of daily confessing my sins. And with God's help, when I sin, I'm going to turn from that with God's help and confess that to the Lord. I'm going to take time to get in the presence of God so I can see things as God sees us. When I read the Bible, I'm going to agree with the Bible and call sin, sin. I'm not going to try to excuse it. God is speaking to your heart about that daily walk with God and getting back and having fellowship with the Lord. And the key of that is daily and often confessing your sins to the Lord. And God is speaking to your heart today. Say, you know what? I need to put that into practice. God is speaking to my heart. I want to keep in fellowship with the Lord. Just by an uplifted hand, say, yep, I really recognize that's something I need to be doing. Okay, amen. Number of different hands. Praise the Lord. Okay, I trust. And young people, yeah, I haven't been confessing my sins daily. I am going to, by God's grace, amen. Others. Okay, praise the Lord. Lord, simple, but one of the great important truths of the Christian life. And Lord, the joy, the refreshing that comes when we confess our sins. And Lord, I pray you give grace and all those that have raised their hand, Lord, certainly if fulfilled, it will raise the level of joy in this place and in homes and in lives. And we give you the glory that there is forgiveness because of the Lord Jesus and his shed blood. Now use your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.